everybody. Hello and welcome. Welcome to December. Although I guess last episode was on December 2. But welcome to the first Power Hour episode of December. And something tells me not the last one. But you are listening to Game Over, the premiere show, hosted by currently two brothers and nobody else, only on 101.5, only live on 101.5, UMFM and UMFM.com. I am joined by my faithful squad mate in studio, Adam Pazder. How are you doing, Adam?
Well, I have joined you on Team Gimp.
Yeah.
I fell down at hockey on Saturday, and...
You just fell? You weren't pushed or anything?
Well, I collided with a guy, and I went down, because he weighs like 300 pounds, and I don't.
Well, you know what? You gotta work on that. It's bulking season.
Yeah.
But you gotta get on that.
Yeah, so it was real bad. But fortunately, it was near the end of the game, so the only thing that sucked is that I couldn't be on to try and help our team catch up for the last... Because we ended up losing 3-2.
Yeah, now we're both on the injury train. Woohoo! Although it's just an excuse to sit around playing games. Like, I've been supposed to be putting up Christmas lights on my house for the last while, and I'm like, yeah. I can't do it. My leg hurts, which is true. My girlfriend
but
is
also
listening.
Convenient.
But also, I mean, it's definitely convenient, but it's like, do you want someone who's got a bad knee climbing a ladder?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Let's please pass that message right along. Okay, so Matt is not joining us. He's sick today. That's A-okay. He'll probably be joining us next week. But he is listening in.
Hi,
so
Matt.
If we talk about something, he's going to be telling us about it. So I don't actually believe I said I'm the father, son, and the goalie host, Simon Pazder, joined in studio by Adam Pazder, and we're going to have Matt Manier, our third co-host, joining us from far away. He might message in. He's already made some picks because we have a topic decided. I wasn't sure if we'd have more time to talk about this, but the end of Power Hour episode seemed to make sense. Last week we talked, or was it even 2 weeks ago, we talked extremely briefly about the whole games of the decade idea. And usually I'm not a big fan of when something like, you know, they'll say the major events of the year, and it's like on December 3rd or something like that. It's like you got a 12th of the year, and you probably had that list ready to go.
Yeah,
like, granted, most of the stuff happened, but, you know, except with games and, like, movies and stuff, because it's like, well... I mean, Star Wars is coming out, but most of the games are out.
Yeah.
Most of the movies are out. You could probably make a list pretty pretty safely. So what we're going to be doing, and feel free to hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/GameOverUMFM if you want to contribute. I'll have the Facebook page open here, so if anyone messages on there, I can read it live on air. But basically, when Matt says hi. Perfect. Hi, back to you, Matt. So what we're basically going to be doing is we're going to go in through all the years of the decade. We're going to be looking at the major game releases, determining our top two, and I hate best and worst or like top 10. So at the very end, we're going to be putting like a tier list together. I think I can find the tier list maker. That's what I've been. That's the big thing this year.
Online.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone was making tier lists.
There were some years I had trouble narrowing it down to top two, and there were some years I had trouble filling out a top two.
Yeah, yeah. And I was thinking of last year. I'm like, oh my god, last year there were so many games. Like, it's going to be almost impossible to pick out a top two. And yet this year, like, not that many.
Yeah.
I think a few years ago I had the theory that it was odd or even numbered years and we're like, right? Well, it doesn't matter. Okay, so I'm going to load up a tier list maker and let's check out the games of the year. While I'm doing this, what have you been playing lately? I know I stole the Switchback from you.
Yes, so I haven't been playing Pokemon. I've been playing, I'm playing some NHL. That's going well. Team built a dynasty. We've won 3 cups in 4 or 5 years now.
Wow.
So, yeah, had a pretty good run there. And then I've been playing some Surviving Mars.
Oh, Surviving Mars again.
Yeah, went back to that. That was a good time.
Wow.
Yeah, so not too much beyond that, just
I've been trying desperately to make it through Red Dead. That game just keeps going. And I say that with, like, love, because I've been, like, thoroughly enjoying it. And I finally kind of hit the part where the story kicked in. And it was, like, honestly 60 to 80 hours in, depending on how long you spend just wandering around the wilderness.
Yeah.
But it was kind of funny. Like, at some point, I won't spoil the story for people, especially Matt, who haven't gotten that far, but at some point in the story, as with, I guess, a lot of open-world games, there gets to be a point where you're just like, it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to keep doing all this open world stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the story just becomes so much more pressing.
Yes.
You know, you could only be wanted in so many places to the point where, like, you know, meandering for 30 hours doesn't really make sense because back in camp, you're being hunted by the cops and, like, they could show up at any minute. So, like, why would you just disappear for a week hunting bears and then you come back and everyone's killed because you, like, left the store? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's similar to that. And also, you do get, like, I believe it's a permanent debuff on your character, I think, until the end of the story. So, it's like, well, you've kind of de-incentivized exploring until the end of the game. It's weird. You'd think that the further you got in, the more you'd want to explore. But I've seen people online, and it's been my experience as well. It's like, well, honestly, if I started playing it again, I think I would get to chapter 2, where everything's kind of hunky-dory, and I would just sit there and do everything and, like, leave the story and not worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's been a weird experience. Okay, so what do you have for your top game of your top games of 2010?
For 2010?
Yeah.
Okay, so for 20, I had a lot of trouble with 2010. There were a bunch of good contenders. But, because you said essentially pick a winner and an honorable mention, I think that's how you
phrased
it. So my game of the year for 2010, this one wasn't in question, it's Fallout New Vegas.
Ah, yeah.
Absolutely no question. I had a lot of trouble with the runner-up, but, yeah, Fallout New Vegas. And then my runner-up, after match deliberation, was Rock Band 3.
Rock Band 3? Man, so that you must have been, I guess, because I don't think either of those were on mats, to be quite honest with you. I mean, you must have had truly nothing to pick if it was, I mean, Fallout New Vegas, I get.
Rock Band 3 was very good. It's Rock Band 4 that sucked.
2010?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Okay, because 2010 had, like, Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
That didn't make your list?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
When I think of, because remember, I liked Mass Effect 1. I was mad at Mass Effect 2.
Okay, well, unfortunately, Matt and I both agreed on our list, so I think that probably bumps you out. In that, in some combination, I'm not going to measure it. I had Red Dead Redemption and the first one.
Yeah.
And Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, no, I knew what your list was. I was looking at the list, I was like, oh, I know what his list is.
Whoops.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2 and Red Dead Redemption 1. Because the one that was bumped off for Rock Band 3 actually was God of War 3.
Oh.
I had that on there. I had that, like, I essentially had a top five. I had Mass Effect 2, I had God of War, and I also had Limbo, all of which would have rounded out a top five of that year.
Yeah, Limbo was good too.
But in the end, it had to be Fallout and Rock Band 3.
Okay, well, since Matt and I agreed on that, I'm going to make a quick note here. You really do miss the third person when I have to type. I can't just leave you two to sort of talk by yourselves. Okay, so 2010, in some combination, we'll do, just because it's this show, we'll do Mass Effect 2 first, and then Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead 1. Okay, perfect. So 2011, what do you have for 2011?
For 2011, this is another year I had a lot of trouble with because there were a lot of good options. My game of the year was Dark Souls.
Okay.
And runner-up was Minecraft.
Minecraft, the official release of Minecraft.
Yeah.
I was talking about that, so I'm not sure how you did your list, but when I was making mine, I was trying to think, well, what do I want to judge it on? Like, when we did our Games of the Decade 2 weeks ago, we were kind of talking about influence.
Yeah.
Whereas now, are we talking about, like, greatness? Like, if you had to launch one game into the sun as, like, an example of humankind greatness? Because I kind of feel like that's what we should be doing. But then that makes you seem a little bit elitist, because then I probably wouldn't put in something like Fortnite. We'll get there.
Yes. Well, and that's, yeah, it was mostly just, I did this on what did I have the most fun with?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all you can do. I had a lot of trouble with this year because the number three one for me on this one was Portal 2, and I had a lot of trouble bumping that off. But Minecraft just ultimately, I've sunk way more hours into Minecraft.
Okay, so you said which two games again?
I said Dark Souls 1 and Minecraft.
Oh my goodness. How do you pick? So, in the same year, we had Minecraft, Portal 2, you're right, but also, two that you missed, Skyrim,
yep,
and Batman Arkham City.
But see, the thing about, I didn't have any problems with not putting Arkham City on there, because when you look back at the Arkham games, Arkham, what's the first one? Origins.
Asylum.
Asylum,
obviously.
Yeah. Obviously. Arkham Asylum is the best one, and it's not close.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's the other ones, like, Arkham Knight is awful. It's Arkham Origins that's awful.
I'm going to turn to you out in the field, Matt, to text an opinion here. Because, yeah, I thought that Arkham Origins had the best boss battles, but it wasn't as polished as the other ones.
Yeah.
Arkham Knight, I didn't like the Batmobile, and they did.
Yeah.
But the rest of it was fine. I'm a sucker for open world, so I really liked Arkham City, and Arkham Asylum was more of like a Metroidvania.
Yeah.
So if that's more your jam, you might have preferred that one just because it was a little tighter. But I thought Arkham City was the best of the bunch, to be honest. Especially, I mean, I love the ending so much, and I played them both relatively recently on PC. Yeah. So I feel pretty confident in that decision.
Well, I mean, like, this one is... I'll phrase it this way. I don't fault you for having that. Like, it's for having that opinion. In this one, you could take, like, basically that half dozen games and throw a dart and not be wrong.
Okay. I don't want to break my rule. Because, you know, I know we're going to run into years where it's going to be some slim pickings. But I think we should... Okay, so let's think about this objectively.
Well, what did you pick?
I would probably... Even if it's my personal list, I would probably pick Arkham City and Portal.
Yeah, okay.
So
again, so far we've agreed on a top five.
Yeah, we have, like, six options, and between all of us, we've each picked different ones.
Yeah.
I think...
What did Matt pick?
He only played Asylum. Ah. Oh. But he said Asylum was great. We agree. We agree.
But okay. What did he pick for this year, for 2011?
For 2011, he picked Dark Souls and Skyrim.
Oh, yeah. See, again, so we see, maybe we should have built a top five, because we seem to have consensus there.
I mean, you know what? It's my rules. We could just steal a spot from other years, and other years could only have a top one.
If we feel that necessary.
I don't want to have more than... Okay, so I feel like we can comfortably knock off Arkham City. And much so, just singing its praise, I feel like we can comfortably knock it off. But I don't see how you can... And I'm also kind of comfortable knocking off Minecraft, because it's been so incremental.
That's,
you know,
true.
I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The version that it was in 2011 is not the version it is today.
Exactly.
Certainly.
But Portal 2, Dark Souls, and Skyrim. And what was your other one?
Minecraft. So
Minecraft.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see how you can... argue with any of those, although maybe Portal 2, I guess that I'm agreeing with Matt, just because Dark Souls and Skyrim have been like giants of the industry.
They have.
And haven't really been topped.
I'm okay. I think I'm okay with saying those two.
Dark Souls and Skyrim?
Yeah.
Okay. Matt, we circled the drain, but we eventually decided that we agree with you. So let's go with, again, because it's this show, Dark Souls number one and Skyrim number two.
Yes.
Man, that was a tough one. Okay, let's see what Matt said here.
For 2012?
He said thumbs up on going with a top one on the other years. Oh, 2014, cough, cough. We'll get there. We'll see if we...
Yeah, we'll get there, Matt. Don't
We'll see
don't
if we
worry.
Really have trouble. Okay, so don't we're going worry. To...
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, 2014, I have two very easily.
Okay.
I'm totally confident in my top two.
Let's go to 2012.
The year the world ended.
Oh, yeah, it was supposed to end that year. That's right.
Yep.
Okay, so what did you have for... 2012.
Well, appropriately enough for the year the world ended, I have the alien invasion game XCOM.
XCOM, yeah.
As my number one. My runner-up, this one I actually had some trouble with coming up with a runner-up. I wasn't super happy with anything on the rest of the list this year, but in the end, I came around to Dishonored.
Okay. Yeah, Dishonored was
pretty big. I had to keep Mass Effect 3 off just on principle.
Because it was sort of finished in 2014.
Yeah.
When the... although it's kind of... I mean, I guess we have Mass Effect in the form of Mass Effect 2. If we hadn't fit Mass Effect 2 in there, I would have put Mass Effect 3 in as my vote. As like a Return of the King, it's the one that should get all the awards.
Yeah.
Because as a franchise type deal.
I also want to just preemptively... now, one game... because I actually made this mistake. Fire Emblem Awakening was released in 2012... but only in Japan. So I decided that doesn't count.
So we'll count it for
2013. It's on my 2013 list. I also decided no DLC and no, like, the content update packs don't count.
Okay. So Matt went with, I'm just looking by at the list here. I'm not sure that I would necessarily go with XCOM, but you and Matt both did, so I'm comfortable enough with it to put it in there. But that was the year that the first, and the other thing that Matt had was Journey. What was your second one?
Dishonored.
Dishonored. And that was the year that the first Walking Dead Telltale game came out.
That is true.
And boy, do I love that game, and it kind of shook up the industry a little bit.
You know what else came out that year? Mark of the Ninja.
Mark
little
of the
indie
Ninja.
Title that I really liked.
It was also very good.
And Trials Evolution.
We bought many games that year, apparently.
And Far Cry 3, but nobody cares.
Yes.
Because none of us care, rather.
Yeah, sorry. None of us particularly do. I don't know where to go on this one. So Matt said Journey.
Yeah.
And Journey is a very beautiful game.
I have never played it. Dishonored.
You said Dishonored. And I've got whatever I just said. I'm blanking on it. Walking Dead.
Now, having said that,
I don't know where to go. We got a Mexican standoff here.
Here's the thing. I've never played Journey, so I can't comment on it. I played The Walking Dead. That first one was great.
We were talking about only the first one.
Yeah.
So, Matt, what
so
do you?
I am.
If you've played The Walking Dead season one, Matt, let us know if you're comfortable with that being the pick.
Yeah, I'm okay with that being the number two.
That was one of those games where it ruins you, and it's also the kind of thing that you can show to somebody else. That's also my mark for. If something's going to be pretty high on this list, it's, could you show it to someone who's not a video game person and they would feel stuff?
Yeah.
Which is pretty much where I am, like sending snaps of Red Dead Redemption 2 to my girlfriend every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't you see how tragic it is? It is. You'd be totally okay with The Walking Dead start of the genre.
Okay. All right. So XCOM and The Walking Dead.
Yeah. XCOM and The Walking Dead in, I don't know which particular order in that one. I think I'm going to go with XCOM first because we all agreed on it.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, we're going to be one of the very few people who have XCOM as the game of the year of 2012, yeah. But that's okay.
Well, the thing about XCOM is I know that the Enemy Unknown expansion is the following year, and that made the game much better. But still, the base game was great.
Yeah.
Now comes, this is a tough year.
Yeah, we might need to borrow.
2013 is
borrow
a
for
tough
another one
year.
On, 2013.
I had two solidly, but there's at least a half dozen that I can be like, I can't fault you for saying this.
So, I mean, since Matt's in agreement with it, we might have to be borrowing a spot, from the following year to accommodate 2013, which was a juggernaut of gaming.
Yes.
The likes of which we only really saw again last year was also a juggernaut.
And the last time we saw was probably 2007.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so let me get my list up here. Matt said what I think if we were not going to have some, if we were not going to cheese it and say we're going to keep three or four,
yeah,
then I think Matt has the two correct picks objectively.
Which are?
GTA 5.
Yeah.
That game is a juggernaut.
Yes.
And The Last of Us. If those are his picks, those are also my picks. But the question is, do we think there's one that we should slide in there? And I think, again, based on the show and how it reinvigorated the genre, I think we need to find a spot for Fire Emblem Awakening there, too.
Well, you've also left off my game of the year.
Well, I'm going to guess that's Bioshock?
That is correct. Bioshock Infinite.
Oof. Jeez. Jeez Louise. But can we comfortably take off two games from two other years in there?
That's the question.
We'll definitely have three.
Yeah, the question is, can we have four?
And Bioshock Infinite was very good.
See, I think for influence, I don't think you can argue Grand Theft Auto V. I didn't have it on my list because I played it and I didn't like it. But
yeah.
Like, there's no question.
And again, it's one of those. It's something where it's objectively, you probably have to just tip your hat to what they did on a technical level.
Yes,
recreating a city in that level of detail, and also just the cojones to have a game going this long, this strong.
Yeah, it's very, very impressive. So, well, put them all down. Put all four down, and let's see if we can find two.
You know,
spots.
we're gonna make a second honorable mention list. We'll have Fire Emblem and what's the other game I'm talking about here? Fire Emblem and Bioshock.
Yeah,
and then if we have space, we'll just pop them in there in a final in a following year. Because we got to be honest, those were two of the games that of the last generation.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just console generation, because they're from the previous console generation, technically. But I mean, they're like, they're going to be the milestones for some people.
Yeah.
Some people talk about Ocarina of Time. Some people talk about Halo 2. Some people talk about Grand Theft Auto and The Last of Us.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, let's move on to 2014, which should hopefully be an easier year for us.
I had no problem picking out two here, and I don't think there was any other contenders, but we'll see what you guys said.
Well, what were your two?
Dark Souls 2.
Dark Souls 2, okay.
Spoiler alert, every From Software game is on my list. Every one.
Okay.
And Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight.
Adam loves Shovel Knight.
And you're not the only one. A lot of people really, truly love Shovel Knight. Okay, so let's just take a look at Matt's list here. Matt wrote down Hearthstone.
Oh, that's very popular, yes.
Mario Kart 8.
That was also very popular.
So, if we're going to... I have a hard time... I'm going to take a list here in a second. I have a hard time arguing with Shovel Knight or Hearthstone, even though I've played neither one, just purely based on influence of what I've heard. But we also have two honorable mentions waiting in the wings, and this would be the year to kick something out. So, what to do? Well, have you played both? I know it's not thrilling to have a one-way conversation like this, but I don't know if you've played both and can have a... And if, although, isn't Hearthstone essentially just... Maybe this is going to be, like, super... what's the word I'm looking for? Super horrible to say on air. Isn't Hearthstone just like Magic the Gathering? Am I missing something?
I mean,
isn't it a card game?
Yeah, it's a card game.
Hmm. Well,
I almost feel we should disqualify it because it is microtransactions.
Oof! It's Blizzard.
Yep.
Can't have a Blizzard title on here. We'll take it off immediately. Yeah, I don't know where to go on that one. So Matt has spoken. He's totally cool with Shovel Knight. He hadn't played it, but he's cool with it. I think go Shovel Knight. And then throw Fire Emblem as the other honorable mention.
No Dark Souls 2.
I don't think so. Again, we already have what's probably... Yeah, Hearthstone is worse magic. Okay, we're cutting it. I'm more comfortable cutting it there if it's just a digital version of another thing. Yeah, no Dark Souls 2. It's people would say it's the... I mean, I would even agree that Dark Souls 2 is the worst of the three objectively. Subjectively, yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
But a lot of the bosses are giant knight with sword thing four-legged dog slash rat slash guy slash... They use the demon with the hammer a lot, don't they?
They do.
An awful lot.
All right, fair enough. So Shovel Knight, and we're sliding Fire Emblem Awakening in here?
Shovel Knight, and we'll get Fire Emblem Awakening in there.
Okay.
Got to get it in there somewhere. I think we're going to have multiple Fire Emblem on this Games of the Decade list, which is pretty great.
I don't have another Fire Emblem on mine.
Not for this year?
Whoa. It was really tough, but there was... I know I'm not going to win, but I could not in good conscience not put the game I put on there. But we'll get to that.
Wow. Okay, so games of 2015.
This is another one where I'm quite happy to give up the second slot. my game of the year was Bloodborne, even though it took me like 2 years to get around to it.
Yeah, fair.
And... you'd better come with me on this. My honorable mention is Super Mega Baseball Extra Innings.
I mean, it's a good game. However, 2015 was the year The Witcher 3 dropped.
Oh, that's true.
And therefore, as I have said, arguably, in my opinion, the greatest game of all time. Obviously.
But does Matt agree with you?
He does. Oh. He does. So he actually wrote down three.
Dang. Oh.
He wrote down, and we're going to keep that in. We're going to have to, unfortunately, knock off Metal Gear Solid, even though that was a huge game that came out that year.
Oh, yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5.
But The Witcher 3 is obviously in there. Now you have to debate between Undertale and Bloodborne.
Okay, so Undertale was definitely, that was a huge thing in the indie circuit.
Yeah.
I played it. I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I could not stand it. It was so, it clearly appeals to a certain sort of person, and that person is not me.
But clearly, I mean, Matt, hit us up if you've played it, but I think you could put GTA also. You could describe exactly what you just said about Undertale with GTA, right?
Yeah. And it kind of comes down to what criteria are we judging this list on?
Yeah.
Like, if it is a question of of influence in the industry, then yes, it is hard to argue with Undertale.
We probably could have made like a little rubric.
Yeah.
If this was my full-time job.
If we could have had a scoring
system. I would
have
made a little rubric and we would have had like a 10 out of 10 for like, innovation and maybe like a 3 out of 10 for technical achievement or something like that.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's a tough choice. You know what else was released in 2015? Speaking of baseball, Out of the Park Baseball 16, apparently.
Out of the Park Baseball. Never even heard of that one. I'm probably, again, I didn't actually finish Bloodborne. Sorry, people. And I haven't played Undertale. But if I had to pick, I'd probably lean on Undertale. Because, again, it was so new, it was so different, it took so many people by storm, and it really changed a lot of the industry. I mean, it was a big thing on the radio. Not necessarily on our show, but I know the GameSockers people are big, big, big fans of Undertale. And I know it's, like, swept a lot of the internet, too. So I think purely for... In this case, almost purely for A, influence, and B, innovation on a level that we hadn't really seen. Whether or not that innovation works for you can be up for debate, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that it innovated so much, like I've seen some of the boss battles, and they're just unconventional.
Yes, they are very weird.
Right, and it still works. So I think I would probably give the point. Oh, never mind. Matt wants Bloodborne over Undertale. I was making that little speech. So, Adam, you'd vote Bloodborne.
Bloodborne.
Over. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm outnumbered, and this is a democracy. So that's A. Okay, we will go with... What was the first one I said there? The Witcher 3, obviously.
Yes, The Witcher 3.
The Witcher 3 and Undertale. On to 2016, but that will have to wait for a couple commercials. So we'll see you guys. Whoa! This button changed color. Now it's a red... Now the commercial button is a red button, and I kind of don't want to touch it. All right, so we'll see you in 30 seconds, hopefully. And welcome back to Game Over.
The button did not, in fact, end
the premier video game show. It did not, in fact, end the world. Hold on, I wonder if this will work. I was trying to get this to work on air, and it wouldn't.
Welcome back to Game Over, the premier video game show.
There we go. I didn't have time to write down two bros and a third guy. That's another lab called Splicer. I was trying to get that as our intro today. Unfortunately, it doesn't work on the website, but feel free to download Splicer. You'll be bombarded with ads, but it's a fun way to get these little videos of characters saying whatever you want them to say. So I guess if you had to write... No, I won't even make that joke. I was going to say if you had to write like a hostage note, because I've been playing Red Dead, and I got criminal activity stuck in my head, and I've been calling everything, boah!
Yeah.
Was 2018 the year of the boah?
It might have been, but we're not at 2018 yet. Don't jump ahead.
Oh, sorry. We're almost there, though. We are in 2060.
Yes.
So.
I'm still looking for the year where both of mine get on the list.
What were your picks for 2060? Well, it depends on if you have one. There's one game that I think we have to put on the list, even though I don't think any of us have played too much of it.
Okay, well then, it's not this year.
Whoops.
Dark Souls 3.
Okay.
And XCOM 2.
XCOM 2. Wow, I'm just looking at the Metacritic's top reviewed games of 2016. Out of the Park Baseball, 92 on Metacritic.
Hey.
Good for them. I mean, on one hand, I agree with both of those choices. On the other hand, I think we have to put Overwatch in because Overwatch was so gigantic. Again, it's a really tight game that has had a lot of legs and is still going very, very strong. 3 going on 4 years later. So I think that we have to put on Overwatch. So I'm going to slide that in there because both Matt and I have that one. And the other ones, if we do put in Dark Souls, we'd have to be cutting... I think the biggest one would probably be Uncharted 4. Now, the Uncharted series has kind of slipped all of us by.
Yes.
Whoops-a-daisy, and there's probably someone out there who's hosting their own video game show, and they... talk about Uncharted the way we talk about Dark Souls and Mass Effect. That definitely exists. And like we haven't had a single real first-person shooter in here either. I guess Overwatch counts.
Yeah.
So we do have to get rid of our Uncharted 4, but I'm pretty comfortable putting in Dark Souls 3 as the end of an era cap on it. And that's... Matt has actually had an astonishing suiting percentage on his picks here.
Yeah.
He's made some very wise and judicious picks there, Matt. So are you comfortable with doing that?
Yeah.
We'll make Dark Souls 3 the game of the year.
Yeah.
If that helps.
A little. Still not. I'm not going to shoot 2 for 2 in 2017 either, even though I have, like, I'm totally confident in my game of the year, but I know it won't be what you guys picked.
Well, hit me.
I will say Breath of the Wild is my honorable mention, but
okay.
Game of the year by a country mile is Hollow Knight.
Hollow Knight and the sequel to the spiritual sequel to Shovel Knight. Right?
Yeah. I mean, they're not related at all. I don't know. Is
really?
It the same company? Yeah, they're not related at all.
They're actually not related?
No. Completely different. Like, the gameplay is totally different, too.
What?
Yeah. Okay, not 100% different, but it's significant.
Well, I wouldn't have guessed. I mean, not that I actually played either one of them. Okay, so I'm going to see what Matt said, because I think we might have some fights going on here. So Matt also put Breath of the Wild and Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, that came out that year, too.
That came out that year. The other big ones, so obviously Breath of the Wild is getting in there.
Yeah.
But the other big ones that we would probably want to consider are Super Mario Odyssey, Divinity
yep.
Original Sin 2. Those are probably the two other big ones to talk about.
Yeah.
So, I guess based on the fact that nobody out here played it, we won't be able to put Divinity Original Sin 2 in.
No.
But I'm not sure how, with Matt not being here, you guys can fight to the death over Horizon Zero Dawn. And I will remind you, by the way, that with only a couple games or a couple years left, we still have not found a spot for Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
So one of these we
I'm
need
not
to have.
Sure. Well, you know what else came out that year? Cuphead.
Cuphead. Oh, man.
I know.
Yeah, I have no clue on how to decide between your Shovel Knight and Matt's
Hollow Knight.
Whatever. Your Hollow Knight and Matt's Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
That I think we might even have to toss a coin or something like that. Oh,
yeah, because it's like I haven't played Horizon Zero Dawn, so I can't speak to it.
Yeah, Matt said he started playing the Divinity campaign a few weeks ago. I played, I think, a couple hours of, or just under what I need to be able to return it on Steam. And it was very, very good.
Yeah.
So I almost want to pick it just to end this fight. just pick a third thing. Or again, I'd be pretty comfortable playing. I mean, even though I didn't finish it, and it wasn't even particularly my cup of tea, I'd also be comfortable picking Super Mario Odyssey as just the, I mean, if that's what you like, that's the best it's ever been.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. Matt said he could indeed let Horizon Zero Dawn go if it came down to it. So is there either one of those? So let's take a Hollow Knight. We'll take it off the table, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We'll take Horizon. We'll take it off the table. Super Mario Odyssey or Divinity Original Sin 2. I know you both are in a lot of gaming circles, as am I. If I had to lean one way, I'd probably lean for the borderline platforming perfection of Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, but it's a tough choice. Because Divinity Original Sin 2 is what people always say is, like, if you want to play Dungeons & Dragons as a video game, this is it.
Yeah.
And I haven't really... I haven't played it. But I think I want to pick it just so we don't let Nintendo sweep this year.
Yeah, that would be pretty incredible if Nintendo did sweep the year. And it's hard to argue with that. I mean, I'm going off, like, Metacritic, which I know isn't the perfect example. But some years that we've had, like I think the previous year, we couldn't get anything above a 93 on Metacritic.
Yeah.
This one, both Super Mario Odyssey and Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild are at a 97.
Yeah. And they're both very good.
Matt, if you can hear this, let us know what your pick would be.
Yeah.
He'll break the tie.
Yeah.
So I'll lean Super Mario Odyssey, and you'll
lean
Divinity Original Sin. We'll have to wait. I don't know what kind of app he's listening on, so there might be some lag, but that's A-okay. So,
boy, do I wish we'd had a real robust metric for this, because, oh, man, oh, well.
I mean, this is just for fun, so if we wanted to, we could come up with a more intense thing and get people to vote on it, I guess, put it on our Facebook page. Let us know on Facebook.
Because it's not going to get any easier for the last 2 years.
So what's going to happen with Bioshock Infinite, man?
I don't know that we're going to get a spot.
I don't... How would we possibly... I feel like now that we've gotten too deep into this, we need to finish it. But we've definitely bit off more than we could chew. Apparently this is like a 2-3 hour conversation.
Top two is just not going to cut it.
You know what? I'll say it, set it in stone. We will not continue... Well, I mean, we'll continue this discussion today, but we'll not continue this on air. But off air, in a podcast form, we'll make a very, very long podcast one of these days, and we'll just go in deep on what our marking scale was.
Yeah.
And we'll do like they do on Good Mythical Morning. You know, we'll just have out of 10. and then vote in objectively what we think the best choice is.
And it probably end up quite different from this list, I would imagine.
All right, so Matt has broken the tie, and he has voted for Divinity Original Sin 2.
Okay, Divinity Original Sin 2 it is.
So we have Breath of the Wild and Div OG 2. They probably hate those abbreviations, and I'm okay with that. Moving on to 2018. Ah, I don't even need to look this up.
This is probably the year. This is makes me sad, because this is the year I'm almost certain I get both, and it's the year I care least.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry, Matt.
What?
Monster Hunter World's on here, but we're not going to vote it in.
No, we're not.
So there's, I mean, again, this could be year that we get four, right? So I think you could, or five, actually. Oh, my God. So we have Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, that's right. That came out this year, too.
Well, okay.
That year, too. Yeah.
God of War.
Yes.
Spider-Man.
Yes.
Monster Hunter World. And Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yep.
I know we had a big
and
Nintendo
Far Cry
franchise.
5.
Yeah. I know we had a big thing last year, or the previous year, with all the Switch's titles, but it's hard to argue that Smash Bros. Ultimate isn't might just be the most polished fighting game ever made.
Possibly.
I mean, it's not very exciting because they kind of like re-released a previous one, but it's just like, yeah, it's just everything. Everything you wanted, they put it in there, so you would stop.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know where to go in that, because didn't expect Monster Hunter World to get on. Had to give it some love anyway. I respect that, Matt.
Yeah. Welcome to my world, Matt, every year up until now.
Sorry. Okay, so I think the absolute, I mean, if I had to say, and probably my objective favorite in that group might be Spider-Man, but I'm not going to vote for it. I would say the top two, if we're going to be looking at it objectively, are God of War and Red Dead. I would say. And I know each of you have only played two of the three of that group.
Yes.
And then among other ones. But I think those are... I think those three, Red Dead, I assume Spider-Man was on your list?
Yes, it was.
So Red Dead, Spider-Man, and God of War are probably the big three of that year.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, so obviously you're voting to leave off Spider-Man. I'm voting to leave off Red Dead. What does Matt pick? If he has to pick two of those three...
He didn't pick two.
He's not getting Monster Hunter World.
He wrote down Red Dead 2, God of War, Monster Hunter World, Spider-Man, and Smash. So he wrote down all five. But if we're going in the order that he wrote it in, it would be Red Dead 2, then God of War. Unfortunately.
So we have to drop Spider-Man.
I mean, I feel like they could do a better Spider-Man game.
Well, again, you can mark this off in the bingo card, but I liked what Yahtzee said about that one. Mm-hmm. He's like, the perfect Spider-Man game is in here, but so is every other video game ever.
Yeah. I agree. I think they focused on the parts that they had to be focusing on, and that made it very, very, very good. But getting all the tiny details right makes you amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it was only very, 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 very good, which you should still be very, very proud of, Brian and Dahar. But Red Dead 2 is a masterpiece, as is God of War.
I mean,
for different reasons.
I have my own complaints about God of War, but yeah.
Yeah, God of War, you can find holes in it, but the stuff that it did so much better than anything else. And I was, like, I love the gameplay loop of Red Dead, but at the parts where I was, we were talking about it a few months ago, I hadn't hit the part of the story. I'm like, I don't know if I'm like as into this as people are thinking. And then you get hit with a story, and it's like a punch to the gut. It's like, oh! It's like the best Western I've ever seen that I just happen to be playing as well. And it's got a huge online component. I haven't even touched it, and I don't really intend to. Yeah. But I see a lot of people really enjoying the online, too. So I think we're going to have to go with Red Dead 2 and God of War. Actually, we'll reverse the order on that, just make you feel a little more special. God of War and Red.
Man, I really thought that was going to be the year.
Sorry.
I know I'm not getting it in 2019.
All right, hit me with your 2019 list.
So, I might not get either of them this year, in fact. I put Sekiro on there, because like I said, every From Software game is on my list. Even though I didn't enjoy it as much as any others. Honestly, this was not a great year in video gaming, for me, at least. And the other one is, I put it on here just because if you spend 800 hours playing a game, you're not allowed to not put it on your list. So, Slay the Spire. which is getting up near 1,000 hours played.
I mean, in that case, do I have to put, like, Surviving Mars and stuff on?
I think you probably do.
Hmm. Interesting. Although I have already 300 hours in Fire Emblem.
Yeah, and see, that was, like, that was my sort of triple A number two, and then I went, no, I've played nearly 1,000 hours of Slay the Spire. It has to go on the list.
That is fair. Let me just double check what Matt said. So Matt went with Fire Emblem and Sekiro.
Yeah.
And you didn't have Sekiro on your list?
I had Sekiro on my list. That was my game of the year.
Okay, so I think, we'll put Sekiro on the list, even though I haven't actually finished it. I guess I have the PS4 right now, so I should probably finish it. Shadows Die Thrice. And, I think we're going to have to make Matt the most popular man in the world.
He's not even here, and he's winning every debate.
No, I know, but that's because you and I are polarized, and he's right down the middle, okay? You're too hard, I'm too soft, and he's Baby Bear, whose
just
porridge
right.
is just right. Matthew Baby Bear Meunier. That's a terrible nickname, but he's not here to defend himself.
The funniest part about this is our show. Our show and our list and Pokemon is nowhere. Not on a single year.
There were like 8 games in there, too. Oh, man, it was almost yearly.
Yeah.
Because you started off the year in, what, like Black and White 2?
Yeah.
And then you had... there was something even before Sun and Moon, wasn't
X
it?
X and Y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
See, the thing is, if you'd made me pick a top 5 of every year, probably every year a Pokemon game came out, it would be in the top 5. But yeah, it's never in my top 2.
Yeah. Major Pokemon releases here. I won't even bother doing that. Okay, so if I look over...
Oh, my goodness. I've just realized I have missed a very obvious contender. When the heck was it released?
Uh-oh. Hit me.
No, I don't want the 1993 release.
Which is that?
Doom.
Remake? Doom. Oh, Doom 2014, I think it was. I don't know that for sure. Don't quote me on that. I'm so
Doom,
sorry.
Doom 2016.
2016. Close enough.
What was our 2016 list?
The 2016 list was Dark Souls 3 and Overwatch.
Oh. It's not going to crack that.
No, it's not.
Even though it was very, very good.
It was very... I mean, it might... Again, it's probably in the Spider-Man camp. It's very... It set out to do, like, one thing.
And it
was really, really, really good at it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to be on this list with probably a very few exceptions, you have to be, I would say, borderline transcendent, you know?
Yeah. Well, we never found a spot for Bioshock Infinite.
We never did find a spot for... That's unfortunate. It does have... along with Doom, it has one of the best soundtracks. By the way, if you're a video game fan, you should also be a fan of the Manitoba Moose. They don't sponsor me. This is a free plug. But this song, BFG Division, is now the Manitoba Moose pregame song.
Oh, cool.
So I was at a game one time, and I was looking up the screen. I'm like, is that
Doom?
Is that Doom? And you know what? It works. Yeah, it's very, very good. Okay, so I'll read us our 20 contenders in no particular order. Actually, there is no particular order. It's chronological by year. Mass Effect 2. Red Dead Redemption, Dark Souls, Skyrim, XCOM, The Walking Dead Chapter 1, Grand Theft Auto 5, The Last of Us, Shovel Knight, Fire Emblem Awakening, Witcher 3, Undertale, Dark Souls 3, Overwatch, Breath of the Wild, Divinity Original Sin 2, God of War, Red Dead 2, Sekiro, or Fire Emblem Three Houses. Are there any of those games, Speak Now or Forever Hold Your Peace, that you think do not belong on that list?
I mean, obviously several. The ones I didn't put on that list.
Well, I mean, there's games that you didn't put on the list, and there's games that you don't think believe to be on the list. I mean, I didn't play plenty of the games on there, and yet they're still up there.
Yeah. I mean, again, it depends on what your metric is. I'm very inclined to do the policy of, if it has microtransactions, it doesn't get to be on the list.
Yeah.
And it's like... The thing about the social sort of influence is there's stuff like Undertale where I'm like, it wasn't my jam, but I get it. And then there's stuff like Overwatch where I'm like, the world would be a better place if this was not a thing.
What? I'm going to have to push back a little bit on that one. What the? What are you talking? Because it's got microtransactions?
Well, just because it started such a flood of just, like, I mean, I guess the little... squirts of the internet have to play something, but that became the thing they were playing. Like, I lump Overwatch essentially in the Call of Duty thing. It's a more colorful version of Call of Duty.
No, I think you've... I mean, I think you've totally missed it. I mean, we didn't have a Call of Duty in there, but Overwatch... I mean, first of all, as opposed to Call of Duties, it's teams, and you don't always just have guns. Like, you can do a variety of things. You can be support. I mean, you could have had any number of multiplayer battle arenas on there. Yeah. I think Overwatch is probably the most significant one, but I don't even think that the players of Overwatch are that particularly young. Like, they might be young as in, I don't know, 13 to 18,
yes,
which might be young for you.
Yeah, it's young for me.
But I don't know if I'd call them a squirt. Squirt is the name of the baby turtle from Finding Nemo, and that's just about the only thing I would refer to as squirt. But
I don't know.
I'm pretty comfortable with Overwatch.
Part of it is, like, as a person who has watched this industry for a long time, I'm really biased against multiplayer-only stuff, or really multiplayer-focused stuff, because it's just, like, that's not what video games should be about. We have plenty of ways to interact with other people. We do not need multiplayer-only video games.
What's Dungeons and Dragons?
That's not a video game.
No, but it's multiplayer-only, is it not?
I mean, technically, you can play it by yourself, but it's not very satisfying.
And technically, you could play Overwatch by yourself. You can
there's
go to
no
practice.
Campaign.
You could go to there's. You can't do a Dungeons and Dragons campaign by yourself. Plenty of the stuff you do is social.
Yes, and I don't want video games are my thing for by myself.
But I think that might just be a curmudgeon thing. Like, clearly, I think the tribe has spoken, and playing video games with other people has won out. I don't do it that much either, but still, I mean, this would be a good time for Matt to be here, because I think he by far plays the most online video games.
Yeah. Well, it's mostly just, I mean, yes, part of it is a curmudgeon thing, but I think most of it is the industry wants to go more multiplayer, and so I want to push back against that any way I can, because I'm fine with multiplayer to exist. But the industry seems to be, as they've often said, like, single player is dead. Of course, it isn't actually dead. Mm-hmm. But you can tell that these people would be super happy if all anyone ever did was play Fortnite and continually get subscriptions to it, as opposed to making a game for a person to play and selling it and that being the end of things. Like, there would be far fewer microtransactions if every game was single player. Because so much of it is about getting an edge on other people.
Right, but nothing of what you're describing is... Overwatch is a single transaction, so all the characters you buy... All the characters that come out are free. All the maps that come out are free. You buy it once, and it's even cheaper than a regular game. It's only $40 if you get it on PC. I think it's $60. I mean, I don't know if that's Canadian or American. If you get it on console. So all that's free, and there are microtransactions, but they're entirely cosmetic. So, I mean... If you wanted to play Overwatch, you could buy it as a one thing, and then you're basically, you have a lifetime subscription to Overwatch, because you'll get all future updates totally for free.
Well, I mean, and there's an argument to be made about the cosmetic thing that I don't really want to get into, because it doesn't really work for me, although I understand it. But yeah, no, in the interest of getting back on topic, I'm just going to say that, like, I would never put Overwatch on any list like this if it was up to me, not because of the game itself, but just because of what it represents in the industry, which I think is a bad thing. And we don't have time. We can talk about that all day.
I'm in such a weird spot. We have a response from Matt, I think. But it's not because I don't disagree with you. It's because I think Overwatch is a bad example of what you're trying to say for, like, some of the reasons, but I'm sure you could find... I think Fortnite, which we didn't include, would be a far better example.
Well, yes,
of this.
Just I
like,
agree with that.
I mean, it's free, so everything that you're getting is what they're trying to milk out of you. Like, if you get Overwatch, you're still getting a AAA experience, and you can truthfully enjoy it by yourself. Matt, I think, said something here. Let me try and represent him. Multiplayer is its own experience, like dungeon crawlers or sports games or RPGs. It's its own genre. It's fair to not like the genre, but it doesn't make it not a good game. Is basically what he said. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, and I like again, but it's a question of whether or not it's a good game is one thing, and whether or not it deserves to be on a game of the decade list is another.
Yeah, well, I would say it does, and I probably a lot of other people do. I mean, if you have an opinion on this debate, feel free again to like us on Facebook, Game Over UMFM, facebook.com/GameOverUMFM. You can find us on Facebook there, and you can message us with your opinion, and maybe agree with that, or maybe agree with me. Maybe you're a baby bear down the middle.
And just to sort of...
Matthew, hashtag baby bear.
Speaking of my own, like, multiplayer credentials, I played a lot of Halo 2.
Yeah.
Like, I played a lot of Halo 2's multiplayer, and I had a good time when I was playing it. But I think just as I've gotten older, my patience for that sort of thing has really waned.
I mean, if you look at this list, though, there's still the vast, vast majority of the thing. I mean, okay, there are some things that are inherently online. I mean, you could probably make a separate list for your favorite online games, but if you look at, I mean, most of the stuff that we've picked is purely single player. I mean, if you look at 2017, you have Breath of the Wild and Divinity Original Sin 2. That's like 800 hours between the two of them, probably.
Yeah.
That'll get you the rest of the ways. And Red Dead has online. Excuse me, it's just called Red Dead Online, not Red Dead 2 Online. But it's got like a 100-hour campaign mode first. God of War might be my game of the decade, but it's totally
I don't know.
Player.
It's like... If you want to, if the list was purely biggest influences, then yeah, like you can't not put Overwatch on there. I don't know. It's the sort of thing where I'd argue more or less about it depending on what our strict criteria was.
Well, yeah, I mean Matt was just saying that. Matt was just saying that Overwatch kind of started loot boxes. Actually, if you think about it. The first game with loot boxes might just be Mass Effect 3. I've heard some, I haven't done any real research into it, but I've done some people that look into it, and like the first major game release that had loot boxes that at least I was certainly aware of was Mass Effect 3 Online, right, where you could buy the guns, and that was entirely pay to win, because the more you paid, the more guns you got.
But weren't you all on the same team?
Yeah, but still, the better you did, the more points you got. So it
was
sort of like a...
Yeah, but Overwatch certainly started the craze.
Yeah, it started the craze, but it made sure that they were unrelated to gameplay, which I think was also important.
Well, and again, there's a certain argument to be had there, because, like, if as video games as a social experience, a cosmetic thing is important, because it makes you stand out.
Yeah.
So in a certain sense, it's not pay to win, but... The argument of it's cosmetic and therefore meaningless does not hold up to the sort of people who do video games as a social thing.
I guess. I mean, I remember, I think it was Matt Pat's video, and we're getting so far off topic, but he was talking, was like, aren't baseball cards kind of like loot boxes?
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, so I think this is just kind of a thing, and then they finally seeped into video games, which has been unfortunate, but we're going to continue to support the single-player games here. You know what? We have our list. We have our 20. We've played most of, if not all of them, at least one of us has played at least part of all of these games.
Yeah.
So, we will come up with a rubric, and the next hour we have, I lied earlier when I said we do it as a podcast, maybe we'll do it on air. The next hour we'll go through as many of those games as we can, and we will objectively come up with our tier lists.
For the decade,
based off of those 20. And it may be, if enough people message us, we'll come up with like a fan vote tier list, which could also be fun, because it would be different. The real OG of a loot box pay-to-win Magic the Gathering, yeah.
That's, yeah, yes, absolutely.
I was thinking about that, too. I was thinking about all those Yu-Gi-Oh card trades, or Pokemon card trades, the exact same thing. Okay, so of that list of 20, what is your game of the decade?
Okay, I should have written them down.
Top three, no particular order. How about that?
Okay, I need to actually see it.
Matt, feel free to message. Yeah, so we have Mass Effect 2, Red Dead Redemption.
Do you have it on your screen? I'm just going to come around and look.
Sure. I could just take a picture and I'll send it to you. That
All
might
right.
be easier.
You can say what yours is.
Mass Effect 3, Red Dead Redemption, Dark Souls, Skyrim, XCOM, The Walking Dead, GTA 5, The Last of Us, Shovel Knight, Fire Emblem Awakening, The Witcher 3, Undertale, Dark Souls 3, Overwatch, Breath of the Wild, Divinity Original Sin 2, God of War, Red Dead Redemption 2, Sekiro, and Fire Emblem Three Houses.
It is a tough list.
That's an extremely tough list.
A very tough list.
I think my three, I mean, in no particular order, again, I'm going to keep saying this because it's very important, I would go The Witcher 3, I would go Dark Souls, the first one, and I would go God of War. And it breaks my heart that none of the Mass Effects get in there, but I think I would take those individual games over Mass Effect.
Did you send it?
Hold on. Sorry, we're just running out of time. Matt's is Dark Souls, The Last of Us, and Breath of the Wild. It's hard to argue with those two.
You just heard
the list when I read it twice, so did any of those pop out at you?
Well, I think... Now, hang on. Dark Souls 1 and 3 are both on there, right?
Yes.
So I think it's... It's hard to pick between those two.
Well, we're out of time,
I think it's going to be Dark Souls 3. And then... I really don't know.
Well, you'll have a week to think about it, because we got to go. Yeah, so, in the meantime, everybody, stay tuned for another excellent show from UMFM coming your way.